KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky. It's 11 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 42. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In Western Iowa news, students from Nebraska and Iowa have joined together in a nine-day march to raise awareness of veteran suicide ahead of a football game between the two universities. The march, the Omaha World Herald reports that the student veteran organizations at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and the University of Iowa organized a 347 march from Iowa City to Lincoln. The march started last week and will conclude on Thursday, just before Friday's football game. They passed through Atlantic on Monday. The group hopes to bring attention to the problem of veteran suicide. Studies show that 20 veterans die by suicide every day. This is the second year the groups have marched. Veterans march about 20 miles every morning and afternoon while carrying 20-pound or more backpacks with their personal belongings. Police in Red Oak report the arrest on Tuesday of a man who was wanted on a warrant for probation violation. 30-year-old Joshua Kenneth Wolcott of Red Oak was arrested at around 10:30 a.m. Tuesday at 106 West Coolbaugh Street. Wolcott was transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where his cash bond was set at $2,000. A former Omaha school teacher and area youth softball coach accused of child sexual assault has taken a plea deal. The Omaha World Herald reports 47-year-old Daryl Clark pleaded no contest on Monday to enticement by electronic device and to attempted visual depiction of a sexually explicit conduct. Prosecutors had already dropped three counts of child sexual assault when they determined the girl had been 16, which is the age of sexual consent in Nebraska. They amended other charges in exchange for Clark's pleas. At the time of his arrest last year, Clark was a business education teacher at Omaha's Monroe Middle School and a girls' softball coach in Papillion and Bellevue, Nebraska. Court records say he lives in Crescent, Iowa. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports that at around 8:50 p.m. on Monday, the Clarinda Academy had informed authorities that two male students had absconded from campus. Both students were found together about 7 a.m. on Tuesday in the vicinity of Highway 71, Shank Road, and State Highway 2 East Bypass. The students were taken into custody by the Clarinda Police Department with assistance from personnel at the Clarinda Co-op and a bus driver from the Clarinda Community School District. The two students have been returned to the Clarinda Academy. One student is a 15-year-old, the other a 16-year-old. The first one is from Omaha, the second is from San Diego, California. The Clarinda Academy is a residential foster care facility that provides residential treatment to at-risk and delinquent male and female youth from several states. Authorities have charged a Northwest Iowa man with forgery and insurance fraud, totaling nearly $29,000. Court records say 39-year-old Scott Leininger is scheduled to be in court on December the 4th. Authorities say Leininger submitted false paperwork to back his claim to Homesite Insurance for damage he said his disability equipment sustained during a lightning storm. Court documents say the company discovered that the paperwork was bogus and they did not pay the claim. The perpetually circulated grandchild in trouble phone scam is back. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said this week that a Clarinda resident was contacted by someone identifying himself as a Sergeant Davis with the Clarinda Police Department. The caller said the resident's grandson had been arrested for possession of marijuana and needed $7,600 for bond. Brothers said that this is a scam. The Clarinda Police Department, first of all, does not have a Sergeant Davis. And the call is a variation on the international grandchild is in trouble or has been arrested scam that's been circulating for several years. The scammers, he said, are very convincing and may oftentimes know the name of the grandchild and so on, as that information is easily obtained on the Internet. He said he should not provide any information to those people that call and hang up immediately. They may continue to repeatedly call back, though, and he's insistent, or they will be insistent, that you go to the bank immediately and withdraw funds. And Brothers said they will even swear you to secrecy. But again, he reminds you that is a complete scam. And authorities say five more people from the Dubuque area have pleaded guilty to participation in a phone call scam. The five entered pleas over the past week in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids to one count of wire fraud. Prosecutors said that the five are 34-year-old Paul Chase, 20-year-old Morgan Cornell, 23-year-old Peyton McCarville, 32-year-old Tiffany Reynolds, and 21-year-old Joshua Willis. Their sentencing dates have not yet been set. Their scheme consisted of phone calls to elderly people all across the country, telling victims that relatives were jailed and that money should be wired to free them. All five admitted picking up the wire transfers. Earlier this year, five other people pleaded guilty in Cedar Rapids to similar or related charges. In the funeral announcements, Ruth E. Francis, age 95, of Avoca and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday in Avoca. Funeral services for Ruth Francis will be this morning at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. James Jim Schwartz, age 85, of Atlantic, died Friday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Jim Schwartz will be today at 10:30 at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Troy Allen Grimes, age 43, of Anita, died Saturday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Troy Grimes will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Barbara Bruner, age 69, of Atlantic, died October 21st. Services for Barbara Bruner will be this evening at 6 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mervyn Carney, age 101, of Oakland, died Sunday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Mervyn Carney will be on Friday at 1 o'clock at the United Congregational Church in Oakland. Reconvened Funeral Home of Oakland has arrangements. Larry Schwanke, age 76, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Graveside services for Larry Schwanke will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Laura Champlin, age 52, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Laura Champlin will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Terry Wall, age 72, of Panora, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Terry Wall will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. And Richard Dick Howard, age 88, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Cremation has taken place for his wishes, and celebration of life memorial services for Dick Howard are currently pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.